All right. Hello, everyone. It's Scott Tipson. It's Wednesday. It's October 10th. And I hope you are all fine. And I see fewer of you are out there this evening than last time. So I'm very appreciative of those of you who are here. The chat line has a good number of people, and those are the stalwarts. So I appreciate you more than I can say. Well, tonight, for those of you who are smart enough, lucky enough to be listening, we have a really interesting guest, and it's Dr. Dean Bonnelly. And Bonnelly has been involved in full-time R&D work in biomagnetism for at least the last 22 years, probably longer. And he has a scientific theory on the action of magnetism on living tissue. And this theory has been validated through numerous studies, which has made given him a name amongst and amidst the community there and made him a widely accepted authority in this field of biomagnetism. Because, it, as you know, I've said for a very long time, we're more biomagnetic beings and electromagnetic beings than we are biochemical beings. And that this is a very critical component of health and longevity. Now, Dr. Bonnelly's been past president of the North American Academy of Magnetic Therapy. He's been involved with the National Health Federation, in fact, probably before I even was. And Dr. Bonnelly has been interviewed extensively on radio, TV, and webinars, not to mention his giving workshops and lectures regularly across North America. So, you know, we're really lucky to have him on the show with us tonight. And I think you'll really learn a lot about how we interact with bioelectrical fields and the like. I was fortunate enough to have spent time with Dean and his lovely wife, Joyce, last June, mid-June in Chicago, when he and I were both there to speak at the Health Freedom Expo. And I have to tell you, his speech there was packed. And there were people wall to wall there to hear what he had to say. So you're really, really fortunate to be on the line listening to him tonight. And we're very fortunate to have him. Now, before I go on, before I bring him on, I want you to write this down, please. This is his website. It's www.magneticosleep.com. So magneticosleep.com. So write that down and you can follow along with us as well. There may be some questions you'll have. If you have any questions, then just, you know, put them up in the chat line. And I will certainly ask Dean Bonnelly as we go along. So, Dean, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. And I know we have a bit of a lag here, as I did with my guests last week, so I appreciate your bearing with us on that. And again, I appreciate your making yourself available. So where are you today? Are you in Chicago? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, Las Vegas. That's right. Las Vegas. Okay. I don't know why. I guess because I'd seen you in Chicago, I was thinking that. But Las Vegas is your base. So you tore yourself away from the slot machines long enough to come and be on our program, huh?
Well, I haven't lost any money here yet.
Well,
the reason I haven't lost any because I haven't played any.
Oh, well, you didn't strike me as the type. You're much more solid than that. So I can appreciate that because I'm not the type to either play that either. So let me just cut to the first question, which I want to ask you, and that is, I mean, really, what effect does magnetism have on the human body? I mean, why should we be concerned with it? What does it do that is of importance to us?
Okay, that's a wide open question there, Scott, but I'll start from the beginning. Many years ago, in the early 80s, the different countries of the Earth got together and they drilled down in the alluvial fans of the major rivers of the Earth, and they pulled out the core, and they measured the magnetic field as time went on down through centuries, and it's like rings on a tree because the different layering of the sediments from spring to winter and so forth, and so they could measure back 4,500 years, and when they did that, to their amazement, the magnetic field reversed about every 600,000 years. And when it reversed, there was a layer of radial irons. Now, these are very, shall we say, primitive cell types, but they died off every time there was a reversal. And the last reversal showed that too. So we, having read that, we thought, well, let's see what would happen if we reduced the Earth magnetic field down to just 20% of what it is today. So we built a cage out of mu metal and put six young mice in there. And to our amazement, within 30 minutes, they were in slow motion. You could roll them over and they could hardly get up. And within the first 24 hours, one of them died just due to the reduction in the magnetic field. The others compensated by eating huge amounts of food and became terribly obese. So this is another indication of how much we need magnetism. Now, Dr. Valerie Hunt over at UCLA read the same information and went and made a cage, 7x7x7 cage, out of mu metal, which blanked out all magnetic fields, and put two young students in there, and she had them all wired up so she could test what was going on. And to her amazement, in a few minutes, they began to sob uncontrollably, and she says, "What's wrong?" And they said, "We feel like we're falling apart." And indeed, their whole metabolism was beginning to shut down, and they began to lose their feeling in their feet and their muscle control of their feet, and that crept up the body. And when it got to their heart, well, then she had to take them out because she was afraid she was going to do damage to her. So I talked to her about that experiment. She said, if I'd left them in there much longer, they would have probably been vegetables. So that shows you how much we're dependent on the Earth magnetic field to maintain life. And we're never taught that in school. They don't teach that to doctors. They don't teach it to anybody. But without a magnetic field, we're in big trouble. Matter of fact, there's just an article that came out from Reuters, the big, like AP. They have a worldwide distribution of news. And this is the title of what they put out. Earth's magnetic field overdue for a chaos-causing, possibly life-altering flip. And it goes on to explain the only thing stopping the Earth having a lifeless environment like Mars is the magnetic field that shields us from the deadly solar radiation. Scientists say Earth's magnetic field is weakening and could all but disappear in as little as 500 years as a precursor to flipping upside down. Well, the Earth isn't going to flip upside down, but the magnetic field does reverse when the sun's magnetic field is stronger than ours, so it pushes our magnetic field back in the Earth. So this is the beginning to realize that their magnetic field has a lot to do with life, because in the recent exploration of Mars, they found out that life was there once, but now they don't have a magnetic field, so there is no life there now. And this article just came out on October the 3rd. Now, in the publication called The World. Now, what does magnetism have to do with us? That was the question. Well, we know we need it for life. So what happens? So when I first got involved in the research on this, I thought, well, if we need it for life, what happens if we increase the amount we have? Because in talking to the geologist that were doing studies of the magnetic field at the time of the dinosaurs were buried, they had 300 Gauss, which is 600 times stronger magnetic field than what we have today. So I thought, well, and they're huge, and the planets were huge and everything. So I made up a unidirectional magnetic field pad and sent it over to Dr. Gumiel, who was head of Project Genesis for the World Health Organization, who was testing things for longevity. And he tested first insects. He took 23 different kinds of insects and put them in a cage over the magnetic pad, another cage in the other room just with the earth magnetic field. And to his amazement, the insects over the increased magnetic field, which was 10 times the earth, they lived 5 times longer. And he was very excited. He called me up.
Just every now and then you might slow down a little bit so I can ask you a question. But so these lizards lived longer because it was a higher magnetic field. Is that it?
No, they weren't lizards. Insects.
Are insects. They lived longer because of the higher magnetic field.
Absolutely. And that's what he compared them against the control, which is in the earth magnetic field. Just by increasing the earth magnetic field by 10 times, we increased their longevity by 5 times. So then we did an experiment on human tissue cells, and that was a controlled experiment again. And the human tissue cells lived 2.5 times longer. Now, we didn't know why this wasn't the case, so we did free radical studies, and we found that women sleeping on a 40 times Earth magnetic field the night before had 80% less free radicals in their bloodstream at 3 o'clock in the afternoon the day after. So free radicals, of course, has a lot to do with your aging. That's a major factor. So this is undoubtedly the reason for increased longevity. You don't have the free radicals attacking the telomeres and reducing your age. Now, how does this all work? How does the magnetic field actually affect you at the molecular level? And that's the important thing here. In the first 2 hours of sleep at night, you produce most of your human growth hormone. And that human growth hormone makes your cells divide. And when they're dividing in a magnetic field in the northern hemisphere, the valence electrons on the atoms will be going counterclockwise, because if they were going the other way, they would be going against the magnetic field. So if we could look at your back and could see the electrons, they would see a predominance of counterclockwise direction of orbit on your valence electrons of your structural cells. There's a formula in physics called the Lamar formula, Lamar formula. This simply states if you put a hydrogen atom in a magnetic field and increase the magnetic field, you'll increase the orbital velocity on the valence electron proportionate to the increase in magnetic field increase. Now, the formula goes on to say this leads to precession or vibration or electron transfer, and that's basically what we're doing here. We're speeding up the electrons, so they're cutting more lines of flux, increasing their charge, so they're repelled and attracted to other electrons and protons at a greater intensity. And when you do that, it's like heating a solution to make a chemical reaction happen. So you get increased molecular action, which makes sharing of the valence electrons, which indeed makes molecules out of atoms. And molecules, of course, make proteins and enzymes and everything else. So we're just enhancing all body processes. So we thought, well, this is interesting. We should be able to check this out right away. So the Canadian decathlon team was training close by. So we had the athletes lay on the magnetic pad before they would do their whatever type of exercise they were doing. And to their amazement, they found if they just laid on it for 20 minutes, they could increase their score by 10%. So that was a big deal to them. So then we thought, well, how's this, what's happening here? So then we did a large pulse oximeter study, 88 people, randomly picked in the mall, and we found that we had a substantial increase in oxygen saturation in the blood and a reduction in heart rate. So they had more reserve than they had before with it, because they had a reduction in their heart rate. So this gives you a little idea what's going on here. We know that the heme molecule, if it's really charged up, can grab a lot more oxygen than it can if it's not charged up. And so what we're actually carrying more oxygen with each red blood cell. And there's another factor also. We noticed when we did red blood cell tests, and when we put them under the microscope to look at the blood, and to our amazement, those who had clumping or the Reloux effect, where the blood cells were all clumped together, in just 20 minutes they were all repelled and pushing each other away.
Dean, your connection is not that good, at least at my end. You're really breaking up badly. I don't know if the phone is too close to your mouth, or you're talking too quickly, or something. I'm sorry to have to interrupt.
The cells were repelling each other, and the only reason they do that is because they have increased charge on their cell wall. It needs to be a negative charge, because the cell wall on the red blood cells is very sticky, and they will stick to each other if they're not charged up. So the only way they're going to get charged up is by use of the sodium potassium pump, which is a mechanism the cell has to charge up the cell wall so it draws oxygen in and push CO2 out. And the mechanism or the energy to run the sodium potassium pump comes from the mitochondria of the cell, the little part of the cell is the manufacturing plant, and it manufactures ATP, which is a high energy compound, which is the energy to run the sodium potassium pump. So this showed that we were running with higher energy production, more ATP production. Matter of fact, the research that we carried on later, Johns Hopkins, showed in his cell cultures that we increased the ATP production by 38%. So these are all indications that we're enhancing body chemistry. And there's a lot of other things that go on with this. But you can ask some questions and I'll stop talking for a little bit.
Okay.
You're on.
All right. So let me, it yeah, sounds I'm from here. Everything you're saying. Yeah, unfortunately, we have this incredible lag. So it takes you about 15 seconds to hear what I'm asking you. From everything you've said there, it seems like it would be very important to sleep in an enhanced magnetic environment. That is something that would increase the magnetism that the person is in. Is that right?
You're so right. As a matter of fact, in one of the early studies we did with the University of Virginia, we took 925 people over a 3.5-year time span. At the end of the time, we tallied it up, and to our amazement, these people had 76% less cancer, new incidence of cancer, than the age-matched population. We used the SEER report from the Center for Disease Control to do age matching. Now, the other part, which is even more exciting, they had 87% less cardiovascular disease in that 3.5-year period. So that just gives you a little idea. If you're enhancing the function of the body, you prevent a lot of disease.
Well, you know, if someone is outside, what you've just told me is, in an indirect way, is that if someone like an astronaut is outside the Earth's orbit, outside the Earth's electromagnetic field, they couldn't live for long, could they?
They could, because they have their spacecraft shielded from the cosmic radiation. And the sun's magnetic field is two-thirds of ours, so they're going into the sun's magnetic field. And they don't stay up there long enough to really have the terrible effects they would if they stayed longer. The cosmonauts who were up there for a much longer period of time ended up with a 80% loss in bone density, because the body was trying to take the calcium out of the bones to put it in the cells to keep cell respiration going. So, yes, you can go out in space, but you need to have an enhancement if you're of a magnetic field if you're going to stay there long, because you're still only in two-thirds of what we have now.
So on a flight to Mars, could someone survive if they had with them an enhanced magnetic field?
Oh, yes, and they could live on Mars with an enhanced magnetic field.
Okay, and then what's your opinion of someone sleeping in a Faraday cage? That sounds like it would be kind of dangerous.
No, sleeping in a Faraday cage only bleeds off EMFs. In other words, electromagnetic fields. The Earth's magnetic field goes right through the Faraday cage, so there's no harm in doing it. As a matter of fact, there's benefit in sleeping in a Faraday cage, because the EMFs are not interfering with the brain.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And especially if it won't block out the Earth's electromagnetic field. Now, can you put, Dean, just a single magnet on the body and have good results? Is that something that would work?
Yes, there's been people doing this way back since the beginning of time. They've been putting magnets around in the body. And what actually happens when you put a single magnet against the body, you actually have a bipolar field. In other words, the magnet field is going in and coming back around to the other side of the magnet. So it's a magnetic field going both ways. Now, this formula I talked about, called the Lamar formula, says if you reverse the magnetic field, you'll slow down the valence electrons and discharge them. So that's not a good thing. So you can be doing speeding them up in one direction and slowing them down in the other direction, all with one magnet, because the magnetic field is looping around. Now, we're in the part of the tissue where you've slowed them down, you begin to get anoxia in the tissue. In other words, lack of oxygen. And so what then happens, the brain compensates by sending a strong electromagnetic field there to compensate to keep the tissues from dying from lack of oxygen. So what happens then? Then you get quite a big benefit to that whole area, because there's increased blood flow, electrical flow to that area. So using a single magnet for a short period of time gives you quite a boost of energy and healing to a particular area.
And does it have to be a particular kind of magnet, or just any magnet? Like, could I get a school magnet?
Any magnet. Go down to Radio Shack and get a magnet. That'll work.
Go ahead. Well, is it critical where exactly you place it on the body? For instance, on one part of the body, it wouldn't be advisable, but on another part, it would be, or you could just put it in anywhere you think you have the need to.
Well, we're very careful about putting it on the brain. I don't do that. Some people put it on the temple for a headache, which increases blood flow there, and they get some benefit from it. But the rule of thumb is that we use the negative side of the magnet on the side and back for the best results, and the positive side for the front of the body for those who sleep on their back and sides. For those who sleep on their stomach, it's just the opposite.
Okay. And so in your experience and your research, I gather that you found that it works better with a lot of magnets together rather than just a single one. Is that right?
Yeah, if, you're right, Scott. You've come across what we learned early on, that the magnetic, when you have a bipolar magnetic field, you fatigue the emergency response that you've created by causing anoxia in the tissue. And over time, you have a lot less response. As a matter of fact, you can actually get in trouble from using a magnetic field too long. You deplete your immune system because your vitality drops because you've used it up, being in a continual emergency all night long.
Oh, okay. So then really, do you need to take a break it sounds like you need to take a break from magnets that you use. And how long would you take a break?
Well, if you're just using a single magnet for treating like a knee or your wrist or something like that, and you're putting it on there for every day for all day long, that you can probably put up with that for a month or so without running into trouble. But if you go longer than that, then you have trouble. Now, if you have an enhancement of the Earth magnetic field with a magnetic pad that does that, well, then you can go much longer. But for just using a single magnet, we say if it isn't well in a couple months, then forget it, don't use it, because you're diverting energy from other parts of the body, and which may be a big problem if you have a disease starting somewhere else.
Then, okay, well, what have you found in your research to be the best way to apply magnetism to the body then? Is it to actually sleep on it? Is it to wear it around your body as you go around the day doing tasks? Or what do you think?
Well, the easiest way is to manufacture a magnetic field that is same as the Earth. In other words, is not bipolar. Now, that can be done by taking block magnets, a lot of them, and putting them close enough together and embedding them in foam. And so the act is one big magnet. So the return field then from those magnets is outside of the bed, because it's only a night where you're laying in one spot. So treating the person at night, when that's your rebuilding time and your time in which you're trying to get cured of your different ailments, it's so important. That's when your immune system builds up and begins to fight for another day. And your astrocyte cells in your brain, which are the ones that convert chemical energy to electrical energy, are recharged, so you have high vitality the next day. So making a magnetic field that is complementary to the Earth but only enhances the Earth magnetic field then gets the recharging and the vitality done much quicker and makes healing much quicker. For instance, we've used the magnetic pads for NFL football players, and the quarterbacks told me, I used it on two different quarterbacks, the first string quarterbacks. They said, look, we can sleep on our magnetic pad the night after a major game, and we're ready to go the next day in practice. Before we used the magnetic pad, it took us all week to get over the bruising that they took on Sunday. So in weightlifters found the same thing. 80% of post-exercise soreness was eliminated by just sleeping on the magnetic pad overnight, because you're speeding up all the processes of repair. Matter of fact, you can put it on a bruise, and the bruise will go away.
So, Dean, would any old magnet work then? I know we talked about getting one at a hardware store, but could you take a Nikon magnet, or doesn't it help to have a special kind of magnet?
For treating spots around in the body, any magnet will work because it's a bipolar field and it sets off the emergency response. But if you want to build up your vitality and treat your whole body at once, which was are preferable, then you need to get one from us, because we're the only people that make a magnetic pad that is unidirectional. All magnetic pads sold today are bipolar, and they go on top of the mattress. Any magnetic pad that's on top of the mattress is bipolar. Ours goes under the mattress and gives you a unidirectional field with just the same polarity as the Earth. It's the only one that does it. It's patented, so nobody else can do it.
And that's the kind that you have and you've developed there and have available in Las Vegas?
That's right.
Okay. Do you need to take a break from those kind of pads? If someone's sleeping on them, do you need to take regular breaks from them, or can you just keep on sleeping on them?
No, you just keep on sleeping on them, because your energy level just keeps rising instead of depleting. So your vitality is up. You need less sleep. And you stop the aging process a lot, because you're not making near as many free radicals. So the longer you use them and the more you use them, the better it is for you. The doctors tell me that use them, say that they're a real godsend, because they need 25% less sleep and they feel better than they did before. Now, I've been using mine for 23 years now, and I don't have to get off it at all. So we put them in nursing homes where they're on 24/7. It works just wonderful. And we've also designed a device that is 1,000 times stronger that we use for tissue regeneration. And people have been in there for actually weeks. One case, 3 months, with 1,000 times the amount of magnetic field. And they just did great. So
if someone had a broken leg, for example, would it be advisable for them to sleep on one of these magnetic pads?
Yes, and put a couple of magnets on the brake, over the brake area, and so you're getting more energy to respond to the bipolar field of the magnets over the brake, and they'll heal up many times faster. I'll tell you a little anecdotal story. There was a famous writer there. It was in three of the newspapers in London, and she was a columnist, and she called me up and says, "Dean, I broke my humerus." That's the first bone there in your arm. And I am scheduled for a round-the-world tour, book signing. And they tell me I'm going to be out of commission for 6 weeks. He says, "I can't do that." He says, "I got to be healed up immediately so I can do this round-the-world tour." So I sent her two strong magnets, and we put it on either side of the brake. And she already had the magnetic bed. And in 10 days, the broken humerus was completely healed.
That's amazing. But I'm not very surprised, because when I was 22 years old, I broke my hand, my right hand, and I'm a right-hander. And I had some friends, you may have heard of Dirk Pearson, Sandy Shaw, who live in the same state as you. And Dirk and Sandy, Dirk in particular, showed me a schematic for building an electromagnetic device to put electromagnetic energy through my hand. And I healed it in a very short order, like a period of 4 weeks or 5 weeks, something like that, well enough that I could take the cast off. And it seemed to be just a variation on a theme of what you do every day with your electromagnetic pads.
You know, they're not electromagnetic. They're straight magnetic, the pads.
Well, now, straight magnetic.
The other device that I built after the pad was called the Magnetic Molecular Energizer, and that is electromagnetic, but it's a DC current, so it makes a no-frequency magnetic field going through the body. And to give you a little idea, this is 1,000 times more powerful than the Earth magnetic field. And actually, it's 2,000 times more than the Earth's magnetic field. And I put a gentleman, a 34-year-old gentleman in there who had broken the ulnar on his right hand. He just put his hand in that thing for 3.5 hours, and it completely healed it. They couldn't find the break, and they took the cast off.
Gosh, that's a better story than mine, actually. That's marvelous. I wish I'd known you back when I was 22, and I might have healed a lot better. Well, so we don't really need to take a break from sleeping on the pads. Now, these pads, do they have to be positioned a certain place on the mattress, like on top, or that'd be kind of hard on your back? Are they buried underneath the mattress and above the...
you have to put it under the mattress, Scott.
Okay. All right.
That's the only place it goes, is under the mattress. If anybody that puts it on top of the mattress, it's way too hard because it's just solid magnets. It'd be like sleeping on a board.
Yeah,
and it goes under the mattress, so you have the benefit, and it lasts for the rest of your life. So you don't have to replace it. Just leave it there, and you can replace your mattress as many times as you want.
Now, I know the magnetic field is measured in a term called the Gauss. And does it make a difference how powerful the Gauss is for the magnets? Because you have magnets that are high Gauss and others that are not, right?
That's right. It's, let's put it this way. There's a lot of confusion about the strength of magnets. And the manufacturer measure the internal measurement of the magnetic field, which is about 3 times greater than the actual magnetic field at the surface of the magnet. And so when you hear of somebody using a 11,000 Gauss magnet, that 11,000 Gauss magnet is really only 3,000 Gauss on the surface in the distance in which that magnet throws the field is dependent on the size of the magnet. So a very small one would throw a field maybe only 3 inches, whereas a large block would throw a magnetic field, it's more like 8 feet. So you got a using Gauss as a measurement is very misleading. It's the volume of magnets and how close they are to other magnets, the total volume of magnets in a given area. All of these are effective things. In our magnetic pad we have them very close together, so they're acting, all working in unison to make a magnetic field on the strongest, and it goes 2 stories high. So it all has to do with engineering.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and thank you for explaining that, because I have to admit I'd been a little weak on the Gauss part of it, and I don't know that I always understood it, but you just made it clear that it really isn't just about the Gauss, but about the arrangement, size of the magnets, the placement, and so on. And I think that's one of the things that attracted me to your particular magnet pads is because you put so much thought into them and so much experimentation that really it's kind of hard to go wrong with yours. I don't know how many other manufacturers or designers are out there, but I do know that of the ones I've seen, yours has been the most well thought through and the most researched. And Do you have a company that sells this? You do, as I recall. So,
yeah, they can go on that website and get that information.
Okay. And that website, again, is magneticosleep.com. Now, one other thing, though, because there must be some people for whom it wouldn't be good that you'd say, don't buy one, don't sleep on it. Who would those people be, if any? Maybe it's good for everyone.
It's good for everyone, but the ones with pacemakers and defibrillators should not use more than the weaker models. They couldn't use the super models with those.
I see. So it might interfere with pacemakers or things like that.
Yeah. That's right. Well, the pacemakers and defibrillators are made to withstand a certain level of magnetic field. And so our classic and our intermediate model falls below that, so you're okay there. The one thing we haven't talked about at all, Scott, and that is the effects of electromagnetic fields and why are they bad? And we're hearing a lot about that, and then we're hearing people that are coming out with electromagnetic sleep pads and electromagnetic devices. And so let's discuss that for a minute here, because it's a very integral part to this.
Yeah, no, it's so, an excellent idea, and thank you. Please pick up from that.
Okay, Dr. Robert O. Becker, New York State University, did a lot of research on that. He was one of the original scientists that developed the PEMF device for healing non-union fractures of bones, and that was a pulsed electromagnetic field. And he's written a couple books called The Body Electric, and,
I've read
the other one is called, and the other one is Cross Currents. So he explains in there really the effects of the body's magnetic field. He found that indeed we do have meridians, and he did find indeed that how the electricity flows to the body. We're talking about vitality now. You see, you have motor, sensory, parasympathetic, and sympathetic nervous systems, but you also have the vitality electrical system in your body. And it's generated by the astrocyte cells in the brain, which make up 80% of the brain cells. They convert chemical energy to electrical energy, and they send that electricity out over the Schwann cells on the outside of the nerves, not down the axon of nerve, but on the outside. The reason it goes on the Schwann cells on the outside is because they're semiconducting, so it takes very little energy to push that that electricity down to the periphery of the body. Now, electricity has two purposes, actually three purposes. The first purpose is to resonate the different tissues of the body. And when you get resonance, then you get a lot more energy release. It's like the opera singer hitting the right note, and he can break a glass all to pieces if he hits the right frequency of the quartz in the glass. So this is really what the brain is doing, hitting harmonics of the different tissues of the body. And so you get a dramatic enhancement of the chemistry when this happens. Now, it goes through cycles. It'll when you sleep, it goes starts out at 7.5 hertz and goes down below zero, then back up to 7.5 every 90 minutes, hitting each different tissue for about 20 seconds and going on to the next one. And so that's one part of it, resonance. And during the day, if you injure a part of your body, well, then it'll send electricity down there and resonate the tissue there. Now, the other part, riding on that frequency, which is a major voltage frequency, is a little minute frequency. So the resonance frequency becomes the carrier of the message frequency from the brain. And what's the purpose of the message frequency? To tell the cells what to do, what to divide into when they mature, and all these sort of things. And the second thing there, this electricity flows back through the fascia, which is also semiconducting, to the spinal cord, up the dura mater, which is the outer leathery sheath around the spine, spinal cord, and back up to the brain. So it makes a complete circuit, which is great for efficiency. Now, if you, the return leg of this magnetic field then is actually the messaging from the cells to the brain. We call it biofeedback. And telling the brain, saying, hey, I got a problem down here. I need a resonance in this tissue down in my leather, in my liver or my knee or wherever. So we have a message system going on continuously, cells talking to cells. So that's, we always call that vitality. And Dr. Becker showed all this good stuff. He found 40 meridians before he got his funding cut off. But definitely exists, and we found this to be very, very true. We found putting pressure on a nerve will block the electrical flow because semiconducting tissue gets blocked if you put pressure on it. If you put pressure on the spinal cord, you have a blockage there. And we can tell it because there's a buildup of voltage behind, in front of it. So we know that the, or behind it, depending on which leg is the one going out or the one, coming from the body. And so you got to build up the voltage. So what Becker did was absolutely right. And so if you can enhance that electrical flow, we call it vitality or chi or whatever you want to call it, then your health is going to improve dramatically. And now if you have EMFs coming in and they're quite strong, like you get from the electrical circuits in your house or from cell phone towers and things like that, and then it scrambles the messages because that's a very weak little signal coming from the brain to the tissue, and so you're not getting the right signal to the tissue. So the brain just doesn't put any out because it doesn't want to have any more, doesn't want to send the wrong signal, so it stops. And while you're being bombarded by the EMF, so you don't get the proper tissue regeneration. The other part of it is, if it's real strong, it interferes even with magnetic resonance. And eventually the brain says, look at, this is getting to be critical. So it ramps up the voltage it's putting out in your electrical system to overcome the incoming frequencies. So the stronger frequency, of course, wins. And this depletes your vitality much quicker. So people become electrical sensitive, or people that have depleted their vitality to the point to where any frequency coming in puts the body into emergency.
Well, that's a very interesting point because I hadn't really thought of it that way. But the more, to kind of restate it here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the more that one is exposed to these bad EMF these bad EMFs, then the weaker they become and the more sensitive they become. Is that essentially it?
They have less vitality, yes. And they become, over time, they become, at first, they're stimulated because you're running at a much higher voltage, so they think it's, oh, this is great, you know, no problem. But if they use it over too much over time, then they have a real problem. And this is where the grounding sheet comes into this whole thing. And the grounding sheet has some benefits in the fact it'll bleed off these blockages, the voltage behind these high voltages. If you have a misplaced vertebrae or something, some impinging on one of the nerves, but if you, that isn't your problem, and then you have a problem of that acting as the aerial, putting in more higher EMFs into your body. So there's the good and the bad of it. Now, using one out in the country where you don't have the high voltages and the cell phone towers is probably beneficial, because if you have a lot of wind out there, this will ground out the static electricity.
The wind, let me pick up on that point you just made, Dean. The wind will ground out static electricity?
No, the wind causes static electricity in your house and on your body.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because there are all these ions going by and they build up a static charge. It's just like when it's windy, you touch the doorknob and you get an arc shock.
Right.
Okay,
that makes sense. And all right, so
the grounding sheet will ground that out in your bed, so your beds aren't your sheets aren't shocking you when you get in. So that's a benefit. But the other side of it is it is acting as an aerial. So you've got the good and the bad, okay?
Well, you know what's so interesting, Dean, is I've actually slept on a bed that's had your magnets in it. And I have to say, I slept in it without knowing the magnets were even there. And I remember remarking a day or two later how really nice that bed was. and little realizing it wasn't the mattress so much as the magnets underneath the mattress that were having that effect on me. So I was really surprised to learn later, oh, that's the bed that has the magnet pad that Dr. Bonley produces. And so I put obviously two and two together and realized that was the reason. So I have to thank you for that. One of these days I'll get one of my own as soon as I can carry it in a suitcase or have it shipped or something of that sort. Let me just look real quickly and see if we have any questions, because we are coming to the end of our time. There is one person who made a comment that many Irish people have hemochromatosis. Are magnets contraindicated for that condition? What do you say?
The bipolar field type of magnetic pads, you wouldn't want to use. Using a single magnet, it wouldn't be in contraindication because you're not going to use it long enough to cause a problem. However, we have found that people with hemochromatosis sleep in our type of magnetic pad actually got completely well within the year. So it depends on whether you have a natural magnetic field like what we're giving the people, or an unnatural magnetic field.
Okay. And how about for arthritis? Would it help someone who has arthritis?
91% of the people have substantial reduction in pain. 38% get completely well.
Well, that sounds pretty favorable to me. So, okay, let me see if there are any other questions. Now, anyone who's out there, of course, if you go to magneticosleep.com, and again, I'm talking with Dr. Dean Bonley, who's been, for those of you who came later, who's been researching this field for over 22 years. And this is something that that he's been doing a long time, so much so that in order to have a good product, he had to go and create it himself. And that's what he does. And he actually does sell a magnet pad that you can find there on his website. And he does ship overseas. So even if you're overseas, it's not a problem. But we have someone else asking, is sleeping with an electric blanket on bad because of the EMFs? And I think I could even answer that one, but I'll let the expert answer it.
Yes, it is bad. You can warm up your bed with it and then unplug it, because it's hooked into the ground, so it's acting as an aerial to pull more of the EMFs from the surrounding area into your body. So warm up your bed and unplug it.
Yeah, well, that sounds like good advice to me. Now, what about someone with fibromyalgia?
We've done several studies on that, and we're to the point now to where highly successful. These people are back to work, and their whole life has changed. That's why we make the stronger magnetic pads. Is people with fibromyalgia have usually a heavy metal toxicity in their brain, so that the astrocyte cells that make the electricity for the body aren't functioning properly to give enough electricity to the body to resonate the tissues, and so toxins begin to build up, and that's where the pain is coming from. So we detoxify them and rebuild the brain cells, get them back healthy again, and it's like night and day. Same for chronic fatigue. We're able to help them. I would say our success rate with them is better than 80 or 90% to these two types of things, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, we're at the top. Sorry, go ahead. One last word.
The success rate, meaning that they're back to normal functioning again.
Well, it sounds like it's worth having for someone with fibromyalgia. I want to thank you, Dean, so much for being on the program, and I'm sorry we need to go. We're going to run into the next host show. And those of you who are on, please stay tuned for Sean McGuire. He's always interesting. And remember what I told you last week about the event this coming weekend in Edinburgh, Scotland. If you're in the neighborhood, or even if you aren't, come to it. It's called the Awakened State. I will be there. I will be speaking there. And go to awakenedstate.co.uk and you can get directions, you can get the program, you can buy tickets. It's only £17. It's hardly anything. Just go there, be there, and if you're there, look me up and say hello, okay? Well, thank you, Dean, so much, and I'm sorry we need to rush now because we're after the hour, but I'd love to have you on again. You're a wealth of information, and we barely scratched the surface, so thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
All right. You take care, and we'll be in touch with you soon.